You're no messiah. You're a movie of the week.
Hello. You are listening to Take 127, the movie show on Ship Full of Bombs, www.sfob.co.uk. I am the host. My dame is.
Your dame.
This
you
is,
are dame.
Sorry, can we stop and re-record this? Oh, no. We can't.
We're live.
We're live. Hi, Dave.
That's the first time that I've actually messed that up. Yes, my name is Dan. I'm the host, amazingly. On my left, we have...
I'm Mark, and I'm sort of twiddling the knobs, sliding the sliders, and making sure everything's recorded.
Marvellous. And in front of me?
I'm Jo, token female.
Oh. And to our right.
And I'm Mike, fresh out of witticism.
So, there we
are.
Just
trips off the
So, top. That's us. There we go. Right. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to jump straight into the theme. The theme for this month's show is music... biopics, more specifically kind of rock biopics, potentially
and rap and folk.
So just kind of music biopics,
popular music.
Just a little warning up front, whilst there will be no bad language during the show spoken by us, except we have already agreed it with Mark that we're allowed to say dick, so that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Some of the songs that we play may contain strong language, so if you have any children in the room, you should put them to bed immediately.
Yes. They shouldn't be up at this time anyway.
Absolutely. Seven o'clock.
Ridiculous. I was in bed by 7 o'clock when I was a child.
And it didn't do you any harm, did it?
It didn't at all. Let's never go out now.
It was different in the 20s.
Oh. Right. Shall we just run into it and jump into the lake of music biopics?
The lake of music biopics.
So, first film. Joe, over to you. Perhaps you'd like to tell us what it is and do your synopsis.
Yes, hello. So the first film that we've looked at is Sid and Nancy, which, unsurprisingly, is a biopic about Sid Vicious and his turbulent relationship with Nancy Spungen. I don't want to give a spoiler. Anyway, so it looks at, obviously, Sid Vicious was the bass guitarist. That is a loose term.
Yeah, very loose.
In the Sex Pistols, and he had this extremely turbulent relationship with Nancy that ended in terrible tragedy. They were both junkies. It's a film directed by Alice Cross. It's 25 years old.
Cox, sorry.
25 years old?
Isn't it?
86.
30 years old.
So it's his anniversary this year, hence why we looked at it.
Yeah, it's been re-released, yeah.
It stars the rather amazing Gary Oldman in his first role, I think, first starring role.
Yes,
I think he probably was.
And other people, and that's all really to say about the plot.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I actually had really low expectations of that, because some of my fellow... a radio mate said perhaps and expressed that they didn't like it, but I think Gary Oldman is amazing. It's quite a dark film, because I guess the world of the Sex Pistols was quite dark, but I think it's really well directed. I think it's quite arty, actually. It does look a bit dated, and some of the performances are dodgy, but I think the depiction of the Sex Pistols and the music scene, all that kind of, I actually thought it was really brilliantly done, and I really got caught up in it. I mean, I think when it ended, I was glad, because I'd had enough of that world, because I don't think there's only so much of that you can take. But I think they did really well when you're watching a reenactment of the Sex Pistols in concert to go with that and enjoy it. And I thought, yeah, Gary Oldman was amazing. What's her name who played Nancy again?
Chloe Webb.
She is annoying, extremely annoying, but I think that's what she's supposed to be. But she does make it a bit trying at times. But yeah, I think it was beautifully directed, mostly well acted. And I mean, obviously the way it ends is Alex Cox has recently said he wishes he'd done it differently, because now there's lots of other evidence about that night. But all in all, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was rather beautiful.
Ooh. So, do we have an opposing view from anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean,
it would be dull if there wasn't.
I'll let Mark go first.
Go But old go on,
Mike.
Mike.
Yes, well, go on, get your notes out, Mike, old man. Go.
Get me notes, okay. Here they are.
You're that is just a piece of paper off the floor. I've like, never had
could
any
you lean
notes.
Into the mic a bit more, please, Mike? Thank you very much.
Here I am.
Come on.
Oh, well, this is all... It's like comic strip goes punk. It was so...
I get that.
Especially when Kathy Burke turned up.
Oh, yes. I loved her. Oh, she was great.
Oh, no.
That's just Burkist.
Possibly. Oh, now I'm too near the mic. I'm popping it. It's a dreadful film. It's awful.
Did you watch Sid and Nancy?
It's getting a really good reviews. Like cult, that guy in The Guardian. He's giving it 5 out of 5 stars. That Bradshaw bloke that hates everything.
Peter Bradshaw, yeah.
5 out of 5. What are you watching? Gary Oldman, give him his due, fantastic. Can't knock his acting at all.
He'll do well, I think.
Yeah, I think.
I'm expecting big things.
If he sticks at it,
I hope so. He's got a bit of a way to go.
Yeah.
Was that it? Was that the extent of your notes? It was awful. I hated it.
Well, no, I thought the comic strip was.
But what was it about it that annoyed you so much? Was it the?
I don't think it understood punk at all.
But is it really hard to? Punk is so anarchic.
I mean, all that drinking champagne, eating baked beans for breakfast. Come on, that's not punk. That word.
They did smash her window to get her attention.
And they spray painted the wall.
Yeah,
well,
and then they wrote beans. The C word
that's
on the wall.
That's exactly
yeah.
what I'm saying. Well,
I do agree with Mike. That seemed to be a very.
It's a comic strip.
Tabloid version of punk. Punks were, they're all destructive and this. So what we'll do, we'll depict some. Going around to see their rich mate in a posh place in Kennington and spray paint the wall.
But she was a dominatrix, wasn't she?
That was just a little bit too
cliched.
Yeah. Very, very cliched. And I didn't hate it. I watched it when it first came out. I went to the cinema and saw it when it first came out in 86. And I remember really enjoying it. This time, I thought it was really dated. I think it really hasn't stood the test of time very well. Performances, very good. Gary Oldman is always good.
You can't say Chloe Webb was very good.
I think she was
good because I think Nancy Spencer was probably that irritating. I think she deserves an Oscar.
I've seen her in. She was in The Draftsman's Contract, I believe. She's been in other stuff with that, but she was very good in that. Very understated, but in this, the character, the person, Nancy Spungen, whether she was that annoying in real life, it'll be interesting to know.
Well, I think she was because of what that thing Alan Parker said. He wanted to make a film called Why I Didn't Kill Nancy because loads of people wanted to kill her.
Yeah, she was obviously,
But when you say it looks dated, isn't it a period film now?
No,
but
I didn't.
Do you think it
felt dated the way it was made.
I don't agree with that.
I wish I'd said what Mike had just said about being...
Oh, that's a first.
No, no.
I'm
feeling...
could
someone call an ambulance? No, but I agree with him what he said about comic strip because it felt like a TV drama. I didn't think it was particularly cinematic.
But then there's that scene, like the scene where they're kissing and all that stuff's falling down around him. I thought that shot was beautiful. And then at the end when he goes and gets pizza and those kids get him to dance. And there's so many beautiful moments, I thought.
That was all right, but I didn't really... Maybe that was the problem with it. Because if the film had been like that all the way through, there were lots of different sort of dream sequences. But that jolted to me because it didn't fit for me with the rest of the film, which is pretty straight.
I guess the thing about it is it's a pretty thin story.
It's
about the Sex Pistols are interesting to a point, but that's what they are. And then a junkie, and I don't know, maybe it didn't feel like a great love story, did it? Feel like, you know, they felt like two people that were just clashing together and a sad inevitability about them, which is probably how it was. But that's not very enjoyable to watch, is it?
No, I think
you weren't rooting for anyone, were you?
Not really.
To me, it very much wasn't a love story. No. It was
an
just
love story,
watching.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was just watching this particular guy and the woman as well, just in a downward spiral towards their destruction. Yeah. So it was a little bit.
There are films like that, aren't there? And they are watchable. So I wonder what it was. I didn't really have much chemistry, I don't think.
No. The rest of the band didn't seem to like... why was Sid in it? Why was Sid ever in the Sex Pistols? I mean, Matlock was in the Sex Pistols to start with, and he left. And then they sort of like, oh, they got him in because, and I think it probably might have been at the start because he was Johnny Rotten's mate.
Yeah, that's why it was.
But also that McLaren manipulated his character. But there wasn't, if that was the case, then there wasn't enough of McLaren because McLaren only turned up really.
Oh, I thought he was
On the boat screen, on the boat section.
No, he's in quite a lot. Was he? He's in about four or five scenes because I really like that guy.
Well, I don't remember him.
I thought all the action was, apart from Gary Oldman, who's superb, I thought it was veering on atrocious.
No, hang on. The guy,
Andrew Schofield.
Andrew Schofield, who played Johnny Rotten, I thought was good.
I thought he was
with
good.
With a Scouse accent.
Yeah. Did he have a Scouse accent?
Yeah, he did have a Scouse accent.
That was his London accent.
He's from Kirby.
Yeah, right. I thought the Malcolm McLaren guy was really good. I thought he looked like he really was. Anyway.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, look, there were some dodgy performances, were there? But anyway, look. Yeah, what do you think? Come on.
Dad didn't even watch a film.
Just want to do a small revelation, listeners, or should we say listener? Hi, Dave. that for the first time on Take 127, one of our team did not complete his homework.
The anchor man, no less.
Yeah,
I can't believe our leader. You've done this.
A veritable leader.
Didn't see the film all
three
the way
weeks ago. I started watching the movie. And I got to about 20 minutes from the end and said to myself, I can't watch any more at the moment. I've got to turn it off. I'm so bored.
That's how I felt with Batman versus Superman. I didn't leave.
That's because you were in the cinema. And that's how I felt about Batman versus Superman.
I am allowed to leave.
I felt the same way and I had to stay and watch it. But try as I might, for the next 3 weeks, all I needed to do was take 20 minutes out of my busy schedule to finish watching the film, and I couldn't do it. I would rather have been doing anything else. Unplugging the hair from the bathroom sink, I would rather have been doing that.
Yeah.
Scrubbing tiles,
yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. I thought it was...
We'll forgive you.
Dull. I thought it was directed quite well.
Yeah, I thought
Alex
so too.
Cox did a good job.
What's he done?
He did that other...
He did Repo Man, didn't he?
Yeah, he did Repo Man. He did that other film... that had the Pogues in it and Elvis Costello Straight to Hell.
Yeah. Oh,
Joe Strummer was in it as well, wasn't he? And that was awful as well.
Yeah, honest. But like this, back to this film, The Clash provide, it's like music advice by members of The Clash.
Yeah.
What did they know about the Pistols?
Yeah, but Clash were punk, weren't they?
No.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Discuss, but they were no. They were a pub rock band.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
But. I think it annoyed me most because basically it is a film about two junkies, and there is a film to be made there with Sid and Nancy.
Yeah.
This is not the film. In the DVD extras, Alex Cox said something about he wanted to stop another film being made with Madonna and Rupert Everett.
They're really good casting for Sid Vicious and Nancy's film.
And you think, well, that's an honourable intention to stop Madonna in any film. So I've got to respect him for that, but he could have done a bit better than this film, couldn't he?
I think.
And the ending is just a try. The happy ending. What?
Was there a happy ending?
Who said it was a happy ending?
Well, when he walks into the sunset.
But then he dies of a heroin overdose, which it flashes up on the screen.
Well, exactly. In the film, he has a little jig with some kids, so walks off into the sunset munching a pizza.
No, he gets in a taxi with Nancy, so he's gone into
you're quite right, it's even worse than that. His dead girlfriend turns up in a white wedding dress. So come with me to heaven.
Well, yeah.
Spoiler there. Dan, you did a good thing to not watch James.
I think it was very sensible for me to.
We could act the last 20 minutes out for you.
That, unfortunately, I just don't think we have time. I think Alex Cox did a good job of directing it. It looked good. There were some lovely scenes in it.
There's one particular
but
lovely scene.
If I may be permitted to finish my sentence. Thank you. But I've forgotten what I was going to say now. Well done. It's completely gone. Go on then, Mike. You win. Speak, you awful, awful man.
Terrible cretin.
You can say that word, Dick. It's been allowed.
Yeah, I'm saving that for later.
When they do the on the boat and the police raid it, the boat and Gary Oldman and... Sid Nancy coming off the boat. That's a really well shot scene. That is an excellent scene, that is.
Mm.
When it's chaos all around them.
Oh,
and
when they just walk through, you are really like that as well.
That's nice. I like that
bit. You're right, that was nice. That's the thing. I mean, it was obviously directed in quite an art house fashion, but I guess the subject matter and that just didn't quite fit with it. So I get what you mean. He did have these beautiful artistic intentions, but sometimes it jarred with the rest of the carry on up the Sex Pistols.
It was a bit like that. So should we have some music
I'm
from
thinking,
the film?
Hang on a sec. Oh, sorry. So what are we saying to our listeners? Is this a film worth seeing or not?
Well, I think yes.
I would say yes. It's worth a watch.
But not the last 20 minutes.
I'm glad I saw it again because it reminded me of me enjoying it the first time when I saw it back in 86. I was unsure about it this time, but I'd still say watch it.
So that's a yes and another yes. Mike.
I think if you like punk, you probably won't like the film.
I don't like punk and I didn't like the film.
Well, yeah, but...
I don't know if I like punk or not, but...
So that's two yeses, a long-winded
a
something.
Yeah, just...
And a no.
I don't think you like it, but... I don't care.
Two yeses.
Here's
and
a heartfelt
I don't
message
care, and a
for
no.
you from my. So I don't care. I actually advice, don't care what any of you do.
Our advice seems to be go and see it.
Yeah.
Let's have
if
that
you
tune.
Want to, but you won't like it.
And I want to be your dog. Gary Oldman there. I Wanna Be Your Dog.
You did very well there.
As performed in the film Sid Nansen.
Absolutely. Yes.
By Gary Oldman.
Thank you for that addendum.
Thank you for saying exactly what he said again.
Everybody wants to be a host. So.
Except you who don't need to see the film.
Funnily enough, except the one that's doing it.
Mike, tragically, we now have to go to you for your synopsis of the next movie that we watched. I watched it all the way through.
I watched it twice, but I'll come to that. I'll come to that.
Okay.
We watched I'm Not There, a biopic of Bob Dylan. 2007, written, directed by Todd Haynes. Todd Haynes, you may or may not know of him, but he's made a few. He made Velvet Goldmine, sort of rock-ish.
Yeah. Which my friend was in. who lives here now.
Really? Hmm. And lately he made Father Heaven and Carol, both are Oscar nominated. So
Carol was excellent.
Yeah, I've not seen that film.
Is it not quite dull? Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, no, so no? This is my piece, you know, my piece.
Sorry.
Well, tell me more about Carol.
Sorry, we both drifted off a little bit there. Do carry on.
I'm listening, Mike.
Thank you, Mark, yeah. And the man with the knobs is the man in charge.
Absolutely.
Whatever you think, Dan.
I can turn them down. I'm going to turn them down and just have leave you, Mike. Yeah.
Anyway, his first film, before I get onto I'm on there, was Superstar, the Karen Carpenter story. Another.
Oh, I love that film.
Yeah, it's
Barbie
a good film.
Dolls.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's good.
I love that film.
The one Barbie Dolls.
Oh, hang on. Maybe not.
Not Barbie Dolls. Oh no! Oh yes, he did
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, entire
yes.
film. With
yes,
Barbie
I have
doll.
Seen bits
oh,
of it.
Got caught up in legal rain.
Yeah, I did see bits of it. Yeah.
Anyway, but that's not. I'm not there, which is what we're talking about.
So, can we have our synopsis now, please?
Synopsis. Yes. It's inspired. This is what it says on the opening credit. Inspired by the music and many lives of Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that annoyed me actually.
Which,
but I'd let that go.
It's my piece. Please. Anyway. So it's about Bob Dylan, we know that. Now, here's the kind of unique selling factor. Bob Dylan...
USP, you mean? Unique not USF, is it?
USP?
Yeah.
Did I say factor?
Yeah.
I meant to say point.
Okay, thanks.
If you two can stop arguing for just a moment, perhaps we could have a synopsis. What do you think?
Six actors portraying seven phases in Bob Dylan's life. I don't know why seven actors didn't portray seven phases, but hey-o, perhaps he couldn't afford the seventh. Mm. So, it was basically his starting out phase is portrayed, listen for this, is a 12-year-old black kid portrays Bob Dylan starting out. Cate Blanchett, who's absolutely superb,
yeah.
portrays a sort of most recognisable phase, if you like. He's like when he's just gone electric. And people are hating him. Christian Bale, he portrays two phases, the protest singer phase and also his late Bible thumper phase. Heath Ledger, so we've now got Batman and the Joker portraying Bob Dylan. He plays a film star, which, although Bob Dylan made films, wasn't
Stars.
Really a film star.
It's so imaginings, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm getting on
sorry,
to that.
Okay.
This is still my synopsis.
I'm just moving you on.
Richard Gere. He plays sort of an outsider phase. And Ben Whishaw. He of Q, I think, from James
Bond. Yeah, from James Bond.
He plays sort of... God knows who he plays.
The poet, I think, is meant to be. Because it's sort of based on Rimbo, isn't it? Rimbo, yeah.
So they all play Bob Dylan. Except none of them are called Bob Dylan in the movie, which is a tad confusing. Right, so that's the synopsis. I don't think you'll understand. If you didn't read the synopsis or get from Wikipedia like I did, you won't understand the film unless you really understand Bob Dylan's phases, I don't think.
Okay.
And I was really bemused when I watched it first time. And that, and then I start watching the bits and bobs on the extras on the DVD, and they kept showing bits of, and I thought, that looks magnificent. Another scene, wow! Every time there's a little bit, I thought, well, I've got to see this again. I've totally...
Were you awake the first time?
Yeah, well, I had a bottle of Shiraz.
Right. So. With a straw.
So, second time, literally second night after... That'd be the second night.
Yes.
Watched it again. Equally amused.
You're waiting for it.
But
just get it.
Yeah, that's a comic effect. So that's my little comic timing. I thought magnificent. But I didn't really understand it. I didn't get it first time. Second time, I thought magnificent. Mm. Okay, people talk now.
Interesting. Who would like to jump in on this? Who feels...
Okay, yeah, I will.
Then.
Just because I watched it with heavy heart at 11 a.m, I put it on this morning thinking, I won't say that word, why have I got to watch this film? And I just thought it was so beautiful. I mean, it's very suggestive, isn't it, in its imaginings of it. I mean, I must admit, I did... I thought Heath Ledger was amazing, but that's the part I found hardest to engage with, because I couldn't really work out why is he being portrayed as a film star. And then I read up a little bit about it, and Charlotte Gainsbourg, who I thought is great actually, is like supposed to be a composite of his lover and his ex-wife, who had terrible trouble with their kids. So then you just realise it's all suggestions, isn't it, of Dylan. I thought it was so beautiful and so moving, and so many shots were like beautifully composed photos actually, especially when it's Richard Gere's bit, he's in the town of Riddle, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, and I thought that was so beautiful. And yeah, Cate Blanchett is absolutely bloody brilliant in it.
She's stunning.
Remember, I thought everyone was great actually. I thought
the young kid was great.
Yeah.
There wasn't
a performance. And also, the minute I started watching it, I was completely and utterly absorbed by it. And it's just interesting because it doesn't really come across as a terribly nice person. It comes across as someone lost and searching for themselves and reinventing themselves. And I didn't really know much about Bob Dylan. But yeah, my general opinion is it was really affecting and really moving. And yeah, I could easily sit and watch it again.
Yeah. Somebody else wants to talk to that. I'm really happy with this. It's really excellent film. It's a masterpiece.
I mean, it's put together such a fantastically charismatic cast and then shot and given them great lines and shot it beautifully. So, but yeah, Cate Blanchett steals it for me.
Can I do another fact? Factoid, if you like.
Yes,
about
please
it.
Do.
Because another bit of this sort of distancing technique or whatever he does, not only to the people that play Bob Dylan, he's purposefully chose black kids, women, people that not... Apart from Cate Blanchett is the one that looks most like Bob Dylan, funnily enough. And when they perform Bob Dylan songs, they're Bob Dylan covers, and they're not particularly well-known Bob Dylan covers. So it's all... Todd Haynes seems to be doing this weird... I don't know what he's up to, but it's magnificent.
I really like that bit. I really like the bit with the Beatles. It was like a bit Hard Day's Night-esque, wasn't it, when he rolls down the hill. There's just lots of little touches in there, you know, that I was just like, oh, that's so clever and so fun, actually. And I think if you watched it again and dissected it, there'd be so many interesting things you could pull out of it. And I'd like to know what else he was inspired by, actually, Todd Haynes.
That's right, because he apes certain directors as well. Because you said about the Hard Day's Night, but he shoots it like Richard Lester
does.
And the Richard Gere bit, he shoots it like Sam Peckinpah. And like the opening credits, like kind of Vin Vendors, all very stark black and white.
Because a lot of it's in black and white, isn't it? Is it about half of it in black and white, isn't it?
Quite and there's there's one scene stolen totally out of 8.5 Fellini, when they're stuck in a traffic jam. It's just like 3 or 4 minutes just lifted totally. I laugh at because that looks good. And often that would, I'd hate that often, but I think it's made so sort of masterly. He got away with all of this arty partiness. He got away with it, and it made a magnificent film.
And it's so original. I mean, I was like, wow, this is really unlike anything I've seen in such a long time. Sorry, I'll stop talking now.
No, not at all.
Did you manage to watch that one, Dan?
Yes, I
watched. How many minutes? 19 minutes? 20? 25?
Let's go to Mark. Mark, what did you think?
I sort of agree with both Joe and Mike. I would like to see it again, because like Mike, although I sort of got what was being meant by you know, the different phases, I would like to see it again, because I thought it was a bit over long, and I got a bit bored at times. But having said that, I thought Cate Blanchett was just amazing, absolutely brilliant. And I thought, was it Robbie Clark, I think, played the... Marcus Carl Franklin, sorry.
Oh, boy.
Played the Woody Guthrie character.
Yeah, he was amazing.
And he was very, very good.
He was playing the guitar, right? He looked like he was playing.
Yeah, he was playing. Yeah. He was playing, I think. And I say, it looked beautiful. I think that, you know, some of the shots that bit with the Woody Guthrie character when he's on the train, and it looked fabulous, and I think it really looked beautiful. I was a little bit worried that it was maybe just a little bit up itself.
That's what, do you know, I was saying.
I understood what he was trying to do. I just thought it was like, I'm really clever, and if you don't understand this, you're not as clever as me.
Yeah.
And I just wondered a little bit like that, and I just had that tiny little feeling that maybe it was just a bit too knowing.
I'm not arguing you, but I think he walked that tightrope between being up himself and being creating a work of art.
I thought the dialogue
he created a work of art.
I think the dialogue as well. I think the dialogue was. I just felt like it crackled. Do you know what I mean? I think Cate Blanchett had all the best lines because she was going through that in that period, wasn't she? When he was like, "Words." I just thought it was fabulously written.
A lot of those lines were pulled out of Bob Dylan.
Yeah, exactly.
They were actually Bob Dylan.
So she got the best to work with, I guess, didn't she? I mean, I think actually the bit that did turn me off a little bit was when Christian Bale was the preacher. That bit, I got a little bit bored when that was all going on.
That was probably the worst part of Dylan's career.
Is that true? Did he go?
No, he made, because he was Jewish, but then he became a Christian.
He
made a Christian album called A Slow Train Coming, which is
all about Jesus.
Yeah, and it's a sort of a born again Christian album, and it was massive hit on the Christian music scene.
Well, like proper happy clappy.
Not really. No, it's a Bob Dylan album, but lyrically it's very Christian, and it was. I think it's probably critically renowned as his probably his least best album.
unless you love Jesus, then you might really love it.
I mean, I want to say a special thing for Charlotte Gainsbourg, who I love anyway. Yes. I think she's a brilliant actress. I thought she was really, really good in this film.
It was heartbreaking. She was very good at doing quite little, if you know what I mean.
She's very minimal, isn't she? She doesn't do much, but she portrays a great deal.
When she writes in that letter, and then there's that scene of her, and he's reading it, but they're not together, I just thought she did that beautifully, actually.
Yeah. And I think the sort of the Michelle Williams as pretending to be Sedgwick was really good as well.
Yeah, well, I love Michelle Williams. And, there wasn't anyone in that cast that you could fault.
No, and I love to see Richie Havens because I'm a Richie Havens fan and he was great.
Yeah. Who was Richie Havens?
Richie Havens was the old guy with the long beard sitting on the porch.
Two-tone blues.
That bit was brilliant.
That was a really
excellent
high point in the film, I think, musically.
Excellent.
Daniel.
Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to say what I thought. Because I'm going to be in complete disagreement with all three of you.
That's what it's about.
Oh, I thought it was awful.
Oh.
Absolutely. So,
you know what to get you for Christmas now? Deluxe Collector's Edition.
My kind of knowledge base with regard to Dylan is very sparse.
Yeah.
I know very little about him. So I thought, that's good. I'm going to go into this as a complete novice and I'm going to find a bit out about the guy. I'm none the wiser now. As to who Bob Dylan really is,
but isn't that the point, a little bit pointless? Yeah. Isn't that he's been many people?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of when I'm watching a biopic, I like to at the
I
end of it come out with a bit of an understanding
know,
of who the person.
No, I agree with Joe. I think it's
a suggestion.
I think it's not meant to be a biopic of Bob Dylan.
It's a suggestion and a take on his many lives, which is pretentious. I want to hit myself.
Which is the pretentious bit.
Yeah.
But it's not. I think it's wrongly portrayed as a film about Bob Dylan because that's exactly what it's not.
Yes, exactly. Well, and although it does kind of wear its colours, you know, because it calls itself "I'm Not There," and indeed Bob Dylan isn't there in the movie.
That's true.
It's kind of an echo of him. It's a shadow
There's
of him.
Concert footage right at the
end.
That's the only bit, isn't it?
I found that quite moving.
Yeah.
Right at the
is
end.
He alive?
Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Film star.
He does a lot of stuff on Six Music, doesn't he?
At the moment.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he has done anyway.
I was going to say this. I mean, synopsis and totally miss. The film starts with Bob Dylan dying in a motor crash. A motorcycle accident, and they've got an autopsy, and you think, well, as far as I know, Bob Dylan never died. In actual fact,
he wasn't that badly injured, really. He hurt his back a bit, but he took it as a way out of getting out of his career for a while.
But like in the Outsider phase, they got Richard Gere doing the same paint parter and Century Wilderness in America, and basically he just went to New York and did the basement tape. So it was nothing. It wasn't literally what he did. It was a representation
of what his mindset was at that time.
So,
I thought it was quite clever, actually.
But I think you have to read up. You've got to invest a bit of energy in this film to understand it.
And I can understand it's a kind of film that I'm sure if I recommended it to half my friends, they'd come back to me and going, "What the hell is wrong with you? Why did you?" I can understand it would make people so cross.
Yeah,
I think I would say. I mean, you used the word. You mentioned the word pretentious. It would be possible to consider this pompous and pretentious and unnecessarily complicated and difficult to access, because it is.
I think
that if I was to recommend it to someone, I would say to them, don't expect a biopic of Bob Dylan. It is a bit fractured. There are vignettes and it jumps around and it does some really odd things. I think if I'd gone into it knowing that, I would have enjoyed it more. But I went into it expecting a straightforward biopic, and it is absolutely not that.
Did you not read the back of the DVD?
So, so it probably is a very good film, but I was expecting something else, and it consistently failed to deliver. So I ended up not really enjoying it.
Lower your expectations. Yeah. That's what I've learned.
Absolutely, that's often what I do in life. I think we're approaching the time when we should probably have another bit of music if people are happy with that. Actually, what we should also do, well, hardly any point, is there? Should this be a film that our listeners out there in Radio Land should have a listen to? Joe, what do you think?
Yes.
That's a yes. Mike, yes or no answer, please.
Can I just say one other thing?
Of course you can't just say yes.
It's a definite yes, but with a but. You have to be a Dylan fan to understand it, or at least invest a bit of time.
No, I'm not a Dylan fan.
I'm not a Dylan fan either.
I think you need to be, but it's almost designed to infuriate Dylan fans.
So that's a yes from Joe, a yes from Mike, but for all the wrong reasons. A completely unjustifiable yes. Mark?
I think yes, it's got enough interest to definitely watch it.
Okay, and I'm going to give it a yes as well, as long as you lower your expectations and know what you're going into, then I think you might quite enjoy it. Okay,
you might love it.
You might indeed, Mike. Thank you very much.
I'm like the Nancy.
So we'll have another tune. This is a cover of a Bob Dylan song, I'm Not There, and it's Sonic Youth.
Magnificent Sonic Youth.
Entitled.
Yeah.
Sonic you. I'm not there.
You sound like, just like John Peel there.
Right, so we are on to our third and final film. It's the home stretch, folks. We're going to hand over now to our esteemed producer, Mark, who's going to speak about the third and final movie. Mark, over to you.
Okay, yes, the third film is the 2015 film Straight Outta Compton, directed by F. Gary Gray, which is a biographical drama about the infamous California hip-hop group NWA. I will not say what that NWA means. If you know, you know, and I'm not going to say the word, but anyway, NWA. It's, in some ways, I think it's a bit of a biologically clean version in some ways of their rise to fame. NWA are probably the most influential hip-hop band there's ever been, because they spawned gangster rap and they gave birth to Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, who is probably the most famous producer around at the moment, I would say, in sort of black music circles. He's produced Kendrick Lamar at the moment. He's produced loads of different people. He discovered Snoop Dogg, Tupac, all these people are amazing. But anyway, this is about their rise to fame, how they started. It's a little bit misleading in there was, it talks about Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Eric Young, Ice Cube, DJ Yella and MC Ren, but there was also another guy called Arabian Prince who was not mentioned in the slightest, and he was one of the founding members of NWA, but left before their sort of seminal album Straight Outta Compton, which the film is named after, came out. What did I think about it? I really like this film. I've seen it before and I watched it again for the second time. I watched the director's cut, which is a bit long. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long, so you have to be a bit of a hip hop fan, I think, to watch it. I think the performances are excellent. Ice Cube is played by Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr.,
who looks identical.
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
actually,
he does look
like
exactly
really
cool. Like his dad.
Absolutely.
And obviously, you know, he plays his dad extremely well.
Yeah.
And then Corey Hawkins plays Dr. Dre. Again,
he's pretty good, I think.
Very, very good. Yeah. Andre Young, who is the biggest name in black music circles by a long way. Founded Death Row Records and then Aftermath Entertainment and Beats Electronics. So you know, lots of kids around have got Dr. Dre Beats headphones, which he sold to Sony and made an absolute bomb out of. I think the film's really good. I like the way it shows the sort of the start of the fact that Dre was a bit different to the other kids. He was the real music fan, and there's a lovely scene where he's lying on his back in the middle of his room, surrounded by vinyl, and just playing music, and his mum telling him off for being a DJ.
Yeah.
And so you've got to go and get a proper job because, mum, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. You know, and then obviously, you know, within 5 years, he's a multi-millionaire. And then there's Cube, who is a bit more troubled, maybe. And then Eazy-E, Eric. I can never remember Eric Young's Eric's second name. God, blimey, Eric Wright. Sorry, who was really the one who was the business brain behind it, I think, who drove them on. And then there were splits in the band and people left because he had a quite a close relationship with a guy called Jerry Heller, who became the manager, who
he's very good in the movie.
Yeah,
Paul Giamatti. Mm-hmm.
Paul Giamatti,
you
yeah,
know wrong.
Very, very good. Again, you know, obviously was the ruthless businessman, and he drove, if it probably wasn't for him, NWA may not have been as big. I mean, they were very, very controversial in their day. They made a record F the Police, which was banned absolutely everywhere, and they were arrested for performing on stage. But people like Eric Wright and Jerry Heller said, do you know what, good, because this is publicity. And they actually realised that being controversial was a selling point.
Yeah, but also they were controversial, but they were just talking about the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know that it was controversial for controversial sake. They were talking about police. I would have sung that song if I was a young black kid, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think that's it. They were talking about what was happening on the streets, or they did glamorise. They were glamorised drugs, and they glamorised guns, and they were not particularly. What's the word I'm looking for? They're misogynist.
They drugs? I don't know. I don't necessarily associate drugs with NWA. Well, maybe they glamorise that gang culture.
Yeah, but I think they.
I think the white pop stars that glamorise drugs more than NWA.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was quite a lot of time when they were actually involved in the. Some of them were involved in the sort of the. What's the word I'm looking for? Dealing in narcotics, maybe. I think Eric Wright was probably, quite heavy involved with that kind of scene. But again, I thought it was a well-made film, maybe a little over. But yeah, anyway, I liked it.
Okay, Joe, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, I love hip hop. I don't get to listen to it so much now because Dave doesn't like hip hop that much. But I love it, and I was really excited to watch this film. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't fall in love with it quite as much as I thought I was going to. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I had to watch the director's cut as well because the other DVD didn't work. I think 2 hours 45 minutes is too long, so maybe I should watch the other one. Right. Brilliant performances. All of the guys that play NWA are fantastic. Paul Giamatti, amazing. And you can't help but watch that film. There's a particular scene that we were discussing earlier where they're just outside the record studio and the police just make them get on the floor for no reason. And wouldn't it be better to be able to say, oh, things were so bad in the 90s, and it's exactly the bloody same. In fact, it's even worse.
Yeah.
You know, if you're young and you're black, you're not, you've got to struggle more and police treat you like terribly. So, and the fact that these guys went on to be successful and were businessmen and did that, a little bit of dealing, whatever. But I think, it's a really important film about a really important band and about the fact that, it's apart from the riots happening, it's just as bad as it was.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Just going to say, we have Weird Gear arrived
in
the studio.
Hi, Weird Gear.
We're going to do this, yes. We've got Lee and we've got the two Pauls.
Hi, guys.
Yes. That's all right. Don't worry. They're bringing stuff in and everything. Blimey, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
yeah.
No, guys, listeners, so you're in for a treat.
So, Mike, what were your thoughts on this then? What were you thinking about this?
Okay, I liked it. It's good. I saw the normal cut. Right. What's Sky movie?
How long is a normal cut?
To 2:15.
Oh, okay, it's only half an hour more. Okay, half an hour's quite a long time.
Sorry. So it's good. I've got no real criticisms of it. I could maybe, if I was being picky, I'd criticise, but...
Pick.
I'm not... do you want pickiness?
Go on, we'd love some.
Yeah, go on, mate. You're never normally not picky, are you?
When are you not picky?
I thought, and perhaps your longer cut extends it, I thought they got famous a bit too quickly.
Okay.
Because of the... Most traditional, if you like, biopics, the interesting bit is
the struggle
to get somewhere. Once they got somewhere and they got money, drugs, women, booze, and stuff, it's kind of less interesting. And there was a little bit of that. Mark, I think, mentioned Dre. Whose name's Andre? I didn't know that. I thought Dr. Dre sounds so cool. Andre, not so cool. But,
that's why he called himself Dr. Dre.
Exactly. So I learnt from this movie. I was learning things like this. But and I thought the start of it, the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, looked a bit like one of my favourite all-time films called The Warriors. Blank faces? No? Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, The Warriors. We don't know what The Warriors is. We just don't care.
Oh, what is The Warriors? Please tell me. I don't know.
We're not talking about it. It's a, I would term it a science fiction film. No one else would, but I do. But it's very gangland-y, but in a kind of poetic, if you like. It's not based in realism. Okay. Anyway. So, but when the gang thing on the bus, when Ice Cube's on the bus... and somebody's sort of doing gang hand signals or whatever, and they stop the bus. I thought that is all terrific stuff. They got into playing the clubs pretty early in the film, and pretty early, it's like they played a club, people liked them, the manager turned to, oh, we want to sign you, and it's like, oh, okay, this year's a struggle. Didn't it seem to be too condensed?
I think there's a lot to cram in, though, and I think obviously he's obviously making a political statement in some ways as well. So maybe if what they represented was more important than how long it took them to get there.
Yeah, maybe.
In the director's mind.
Maybe. But like I say, if picky, I would have preferred that extended.
Yeah.
To see more of the struggle and less of the sort of
when they
success.
Tried to get on America's Got Talent, all of that sort of stuff.
Did they do
no,
that?
No, no, no.
No, that would have been good. But there's a great little, well, not a scene so much, it's one incident I really thought, wow, when they're being asked, could be a news conference, about why do you sing about the things you do? It's like, we see what we, you know, we sing about what we see on the street. Yeah. And he said, we haven't even got passports. We sort of, this is what we see. This is our reality.
I think some of the bits of that scene in Detroit where they were warned, you don't sing this song.
Or,
we're going to be. That, I mean, that actually happened. I remember that happening.
And it was great that they did that.
I remember that happening.
The police, all they were saying was what they saw every day. That's the thing, is it? And it's great for, you know, how many voices do young black kids have to, like, who was saying what was really happening? No one.
Well, there was Public Enemy.
Yeah, okay, Public Enemy, but I mean, Public Enemy was a bit before. Was that 10 years before, wasn't it?
No, it was
80s, weren't they? Probably?
It was a little bit before, but not that much at the time, because they were sort of around the same kind of time.
But Public Enemy was soft compared to NWA.
Well, they were more political.
Yeah,
they were more political.
So, In terms of this, I mean, from my position, this, interestingly, was the film that I was, I think I was least looking forward to. Because, I mean, I don't, we spoke about Sid and Nancy, I don't like punk, but I thought, well, at least it might be interesting, but it wasn't. Bob Dylan, he's okay, he's fine. But hip-hop, gangster rap, really not interested at all. And I thought this was going to be disastrous. And I watched it and I loved it. Fantastic film. It was my favourite of the three. And it really kind of opened my eyes as to what these guys were doing. They were actually, to me, it just sounded like, at the time when I was a younger man, it sounded like just a load of noise and a load of shouting. Couldn't see the point of it. But when you watch this film, you really do get a deep insight into the fact that, yes, they were actually speaking about the things that were happening to them. And some of those things were scary. You know, they really were. Some of those scenes, that scene that you mentioned, where they're outside the recording studio,
doing nothing,
having a break, having some lunch, the next thing you know, they're all face down on the pavement.
Because they had pagers and stuff, you know, so what you're doing, you know. If you're a black man with a pager, you're a drug dealer,
then there was
a
riots, weren't there?
It was the Rodney King riots.
And you would like to think that 20 years later, things would have changed, Black Lives Matter is currently everywhere in the news.
Well, it seems worse, actually. Yeah. Unless it's more reported. Yeah, but it's probably, you know, the sad thing is it hasn't improved.
But, yeah, I thought it was an absolute cracker. I really, really liked it. We're running out of time, aren't we?
We are.
So, shall we do very quickly, then, yeses and nos? We'll start with Mark this time. What do you think?
I would definitely say watch it. It's an excellent film. One I will return to more than once.
Joe?
Hell yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, I thought it was very good, but I'm probably unlikely to want to see it again, at least for a little while. Didn't blow me away, but yeah, very good.
And I liked it, so okay, that's fantastic. So I think, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to choose a winner this month,
either.
Are we?
I'm not there or Straight Outta Compton, isn't it? I think maybe Straight Outta Compton got more straightforward yeses.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, you didn't like it, did you?
I said yes, but under protest.
Compton's a winner.
I think we have to do Straight Outta Compton.
So that's our recommendation, Straight Outta Compton. But I'm Not There was a very close second, and Sid and Nancy, don't bother. Do something else. Shall we have a final bit of music to play us out of the
we
studio?
We would like to play NWA, but the, you know, they can't say more than three words without swearing. So we're erring on the side of caution, then we're not going to play it.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, absolutely, and we will hopefully see you all next month. Here's Tupac, California Love.
Dr. Dre produced. California Love.
the wild, wild west. A state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Back a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass him be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimps be. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamond shining, looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pay. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California, yeah.